hi, and welcome to Radical Romance, From Roommates to Soulmates. I'm David Steele, founder of Relationship Coaching Institute and co-author of Radical Marriage. And with me tonight is my soulmate, co-author of Radical Marriage, Darlene Steele. Welcome, Darlene.
Well, thank you. And what a great topic to have in this month of February.
Yeah, it's February, and this is a big month for us here at Relationship Coaching Institute. We definitely want to acknowledge it and make a big deal about it. And what better thing to do than to conduct a webinar on romance? So that's why we're here. So thank you for being here, and let's go ahead and get started. So we have a question for you. What do you think is the difference between a couple being roommates and soulmates? It is very common in the beginning of a relationship to have a lot of romantic energy and activity going on. And then as a relationship evolves and you're together for a while, it's almost like you take each other for granted, or at least you get comfortable, right? You get into routines, and then romance goes out the window. There doesn't seem to be a whole lot of romantic energy that sustains itself after some period of time, whether it's a month, a week, 6 months, a year, 5 years. There's some period of time after which, you know, you no longer bother doing all that stuff. And so then if it's going to happen, it's going to happen through effort and conscious choice, and that is what radical marriage is all about, you know, creating the relationship and the life together that you really want rather than just settling for the default or what's comfortable or what's routine. So what do you think is the difference between being a couple, between a couple being roommates and soulmates? It does feel like you're roommates after a while, doesn't it? You know, you come and you go, and you have meals together, and you hang out, and, you know, what really is the difference? Romance. That's really the difference. I mean, if romance isn't in the equation, then you might as well be roommates. I mean, you know, would you agree with that? You know, sort of like you're living together and, you know, life can be good. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. But if you want passion, if, you know, romance is the key. So what do you think is the difference between love and romance? Do you think they're the same thing, or do you think they're different? Now, if you were to consult the dictionary or, you know, most people on the street, you know, you would find out that love is a profoundly tender, passionate affection for another person. You love another person. And Darlene, I got to tell you, I love that picture.
That's a great picture.
On this slide, yeah. It's like, you know, a couple who, you know, grew old together, and, you know, that's how I want us to be.
Huh.
Yeah. So, yeah, very cool. So, love being a profoundly tender, passionate affection for another person, love then is a feeling. It happens inside you. It's an experience you're having inside you. Now, romance is, I mean, if you consult the dictionary or what most people, you know, understand romance to be, it's to court or woo with ardor. Ardor, whatever that is. And it sounds good. So romance is an action. Romance is something you do. It's not just a feeling. And that really is the key. So in today's program, we definitely want to cover, you know, solid strategies and things you can do to experience romance, create romance, boost romance, and not just for Valentine's Day or for February, even though, you know, this is what we're leading up to pretty soon, but, you know, every day, every week, year-round in your life and your relationship. So we define radical romance as to energetically, creatively, and continuously express your love and woo your partner. Now, wouldn't you like to be in a relationship like that? wouldn't you like it if your partner was to energetically, creatively, and continuously express their love and woo you? Or is it okay they kind of take you for granted and you guys got habits and routines and, you know, you have sex maybe once a week or once every other week and, you know, you go through an entire meal without even looking at each other or talking to each other? You know, what kind of relationship do you want? What kind of life do you want? What kind of experience do you want with your partner? So in our experience, it is absolutely realistic and possible to do this on a sustainable basis, to energetically, creatively, and continuously express your love and woo your partner. It's not always something you feel like doing. It's not always something that's easy to find the time to do. But then that's what makes it special, is that you are making a conscious choice to do it, just like exercise, just like eating healthy. These are action you're taking because your marriage, you know, your partnership, your relationship, your life together is your most important asset. It's the thing that you value the most, or at least really, really, really high up there. So, three requirements of radical romance. And this is true for just about everything in radical marriage. It involves an attitude, it involves actions or things you do, and it involves strategies or, you know, ways that you can do things. And as opposed to just trying this, trying that, or, you know, being random or trial and error. So attitude, actions, and strategies. So example of attitude would be striving to be the best partner you can be. Now, we all love it when our partner is wonderful to us. We can always be a better partner to our partner. And so striving is something that it's important not to take yourself or your relationship, your marriage, or your partner for granted. So when you are striving, you are absolutely appreciating and realizing that when you stop striving, that's when atrophy occurs. That's when things start going downhill. And so strive to be the best partner you can be. It's sort of an ongoing attitude that really makes for the best relationships. Another one is taking 100% responsibility for your outcomes in the relationship. So are you going to complain that you don't get enough affection or that your relationship isn't romantic enough? Or are you going to take 100% responsibility for the romance or lack thereof in the relationship? Really, really important, and that's why we emphasize in radical marriage so strongly, you know, prioritizing your partner's happiness, taking responsibility for your own happiness, that really, it really does seem to be a necessary equation for success. And if you're not doing this, you'll be miserable, or at least you'll be bored, or at least you'll be indifferent. You know, it really is the formula for success. Striving to be the best partner you can be, prioritizing your partner's happiness, and taking 100% responsibility for your own outcomes. So in terms of action, you know, we have opportunities every day to show up and take action to make our partner happy, to let your partner know that they're loved, that you love them, that you appreciate them, that they're important to you. Or you can go through every day ignoring your partner and live like roommates. But we know what kind of life and what kind of relationship do you want. You know, we assume you're here because you want to have a radical marriage. You want to have a relationship that is close and loving and intimate and romantic. So every day we have opportunities to make our partner happy, and we need to do something every day. Your everyday actions express your love for your partner and the value you place on your relationship. So it's sort of like, you know, what you do is more important than what you say. What you do every day is much more important and says a lot more about you than what you do on Valentine's Day. So it is wonderful if you give your partner, you know, flowers and candy and a massage and a romantic dinner and everything else on Valentine's Day. But what you do every day is much, much, much more important. So, Darlene, it seemed like you wanted to say something about that.
Well, yeah, you know, it seems like you know people all the time that say, you know, my husband never tells me he loves me, but I know he does. Right? There's always that the actions that people take. You can just sense when somebody loves you. But one of the things that I wanted to say was everybody kind of feels loved in a different way. So, in fact, when we were preparing for this program, I said to David, you know, I don't feel like an authority on romance because I don't fit that, you know, kind of some of those cliches when it comes to what people think of as romance, like the flowers and the candy and, I don't know, the gifts and stuff like that. That isn't the kind of stuff that feels romantic to me. But, you know, when David sits down and watches one of my TV shows happily and actually puts it on intentionally for me, that makes me feel loved. That's how I know I feel loved.
And would you consider that to be romantic?
It's incredibly romantic, right? Because that is the actions that you take that make, that you know you're doing for my happiness. I mean, I know that's why you're doing. I know you don't want to watch Project Runway. I know that.
How do you know? It's been long enough. I think I've gotten into it now. So, you know, I wish it were that easy. You know, I just turn on the TV shows your partner wants to see, and they will experience, you know, being loved, and they will experience as romantic. And I am so lucky to be married to somebody who's that easy to please. So thank you, sweetheart, for being you. So anything else about that? Okay. All right, move right along. So, do something, please. Do something every day to make your marriage the best marriage possible. Turn on Project Runway even if it's not your thing. You know, prioritize your partner's happiness. This is where romance starts. So, in terms of strategies, in today's program, we would like to share with you three strategies for radical romance, and they involve using the relationship journal, which is found all over the place. It's in the Radical Marriage book. It's an e-book all on its own, and in the Radical Marriage book, it is used as a tool, one of the tools for radical intimacy and for radical communication, as well as radical romance. So we're going to talk about how to use the relationship journal for radical romance. We're going to talk about conducting your own radical marriage retreat. If you want radical romance, a radical marriage retreat is just a ticket. I can't wait to talk about that. And then one-way dates. When it comes to boosting romance and experiencing romance and being romantic, in my experience, and you know, I'm no spring chicken. To be honest, I'm 57, and this is my third marriage, and I've been around the block a few times, and I have never, ever, ever experienced such an effective way to create romance in a relationship on a regular, ongoing basis as one-way dates. So I am absolutely excited to share that with you today. So, radical romance strategy number one, the relationship journal. This is our all-time favorite tool to take your romantic intentions to the next level. We use it here at Relationship Coaching Institute to facilitate communication and relationship building. We've included it in the Radical Romance book. It really does help you discover and communicate and address needs and issues and goals in a way that's really hard to do by talking by itself. You know, talking's good. And often when a relationship gets stuck or it's experiencing challenges, talking is really best facilitated with a coach or a counselor, a therapist, something like that. Some neutral third party that can help you, you know, talk at a really deep, you know, respectful, honoring, meaningful level. But, you know, it's really hard to do that on your own. However, the relationship journal can help you communicate, and that's not just talking, communicate in a very deep, meaningful way to effectively address needs and issues and goals and boost your romance, as we're going to talk about. So the steps of the relationship journal. Step one, get a blank book or a spiral notebook. And you have a choice. You can have individual relationship journals, or you can share a relationship journal. I've done it where, you know, one partner writes on one side of the page and the other partner writes on the other side of the page. You know, so that's kind of a cool way to do it. But logistically, it's easier if you each have your own journals that you can write in at any time. And then step two, schedule some time, at least 30 minutes, and agree on frequency. In the beginning, you know, we recommend it about 3 times a week, maybe even more, you know, when you're really working on your relationship and your relationship needs a lot of work. Then prioritize the time. When you're in maintenance mode and, you know, things are good in your relationship, then, you know, once a week or a couple times a month or even once a month is fine. So agree on a frequency and agree on a time and place. And, you know, it's good to have an idea of certainly a start time, but also an ending time because, you know, people have, you know, schedules to juggle and other responsibilities. And, you know, we do want to carve out the time and prioritize the time. And it's easier to do that if we know when it's going to start and end. So step two is schedule at least 30 minutes for the process on a regular basis. Put on your calendar. Make an appointment. Step three, don't wait for your partner to remember or initiate. You go ahead and initiate it. When the time comes, drop whatever you're doing and create your intimate space in whatever way that works for you. And that can be, you know, locking the door. It can be turning off the cell phone ringer. You know, whatever is needed for you and your partner to feel like you're ready to shut out the rest of the world and really, you know, be together and connect and focus on your relationship. And step four is go ahead and make your entry in the relationship journal. And you know, you don't have to do this just during the appointed time. You can write in your relationship journal any time. I like the idea of just, you know, as it occurs to you, you know, break out your relationship journal and make a note. And so then you are, you know, focusing on your relationship. You're working on your relationship all the time, not just when you're meeting together. And when you make your entry in your relationship journal. When it's relationship journal time, you're both making your entry individually, and do not read your partner's entry until you finish yours. So both people should be finished before you start reading. So the entry, I mean, what might you write? There is no absolute answer to that. We have some suggestions. And you can create your own. You know, I love it when couples, you know, design their own relationship and design their own exercises and design how they want to use their relationship journal. That's, you know, do it in a way that's best for you, that works best for you. Here's just a suggestion. So first thing you might do is to write down what you appreciate about your partner today. And the word today there is very, very intentional. It's like right now, in this moment, what do you appreciate about your partner? You know, not overall globally, you know, all the various wonderful traits and everything you appreciate about them. What are you in touch with right now? And then you might write out what issues are you aware of in your relationship today? And again, this is not what are all the issues in your relationship. This is, what are you in touch with? What are you experiencing right now, right here? and go ahead and write them down. This is not about everything in the kitchen sink. This is about what's coming up for you right now. And then, what needs can you identify that you're experiencing in your relationship today? And checking in with yourself, you know, what are you feeling like you're needing? What do you need from your partner? What do you need to feel loved? What do you need to be happy? And go ahead and write those down. And this is a snapshot in time, but chances are, you know, these needs are much larger than right now. And chances are you have more needs than what you're in touch with right now. But don't worry about that. The idea here is not to come up with an exhaustive list. The idea is to bring out what you are in touch with, what's coming up for you right now. And one tip about needs is that every issue that you identified, every problem, an issue or problem, kind of the same thing, it's just semantics. So whatever you got in touch with as an issue or a problem in your relationship, something that's annoying you or bugging you or something that you experience as an issue or a problem, if you turn that around 180 degrees on the other side of the coin or whatever metaphor you want to use, that is going to be a need. So an issue is an unmet need. So what is the need? Identify the need. And so go over the issues that you noted and write out what the positive need would be, that if this was in place, the issue would be addressed effectively.
So David, can you if this program is about radical romance, and we're talking about sitting down with a journal and writing out your issues and writing out some problems. So can you relate that to feeling romantic and feeling romance in your life?
Yeah, great question, and also a challenging question. You know, this is about what's real for you. This is about being present. Romance is not about pretending that you're in love. It's about experiencing and practicing love. Romance is not about creating some sort of fake, artificial, Hallmark experience. Romance is about, you know, making your partner and your relationship important enough to show up and do something about it. So just like you experience romance as me turning on Project One Way for you, it is highly romantic for a couple to get together and go through a relationship journal process, because they are showing up. They are letting each other know that their relationship is important enough that they'd rather do this than anything else.
And that is really that's a very good point, because I can tell you most people don't enjoy writing. A lot of people don't enjoy putting down feelings and talking about feelings. So it is really, that's a very honoring thing to do as a couple.
Well, a couple of things. First of all, I didn't say write out your feelings.
But that is what's coming out.
But actually, you know, the writing part, even if people don't like to write or have trouble writing, there's something about the going inside and coming up with something to write that is very, very different than talking. You know, talking comes from a different place than writing, and so they go really, really well together. So don't just talk, you know, write it out as well. And so what needs can you identify that you're experiencing in your relationship today? And this is actually very romantic, because it's like you are giving yourself and your partner the formula for romance and happiness and love and connection. If your needs are addressed, you will feel happy and connected and loved and loving. So another suggested entry is, what did you do today or recently to improve your relationship? What did you do for your relationship? This might seem a little weird, but, you know, most couples, you know, we do a lot that, you know, the other person doesn't even see. And this is about, I mean, it's not it's not about looking for kudos or fishing for appreciation. It's about getting in touch with, you know, how are you showing up and what have you done and what are you doing? And so it's a chance to kind of check in with yourself about that and write it out and to share that with your partner. And, you know, chances are there's some cool stuff that you've done that your partner doesn't even know about that they would love to know about. So it might seem a little weird, but I really do like this entry a lot. And, of course, there's sex. So a suggestion is to reflect upon your last sexual experience and identify what you liked and what you want to do differently next time. Chances are there's always something that you liked and something that would make it even better for you. And so go ahead and identify what that was, what that is. And my experience in doing this on a regular basis is that you come to know yourself even better because things that you're sort of experiencing but you're not really conscious or aware of, when you're writing it out and you're sharing it with your partner, you actually come to know yourself better and become a better sexual partner and know what it is you can ask for and request and initiate much better, and your partner can know you better. So this is when you do this on a regular basis, it really does enhance your sexual relationship tremendously. I mean, this all by itself. Best form of sex therapy there is. Then, step five, what do you do? You go ahead and swap, and you read each other's entry. And when you're done reading, you ask clarifying questions. You know, so what did you mean about that? Or, you know, what does this say? I can't read your writing, or, you know, whatever. And it's really important to try to be neutral and non-judgmental and non-defensive. It's, you know, whatever your partner wrote in their journal, that's their truth. And you want to love them and accept them for who they are. And so please do make it your goal to accept everything they write in the journal. 100%. Embrace it 100%. Do not, you know, judge it as, you know, right, wrong, good, or bad. Do not be defensive about it. Do not be upset about it. And then start a conversation. Start by acknowledging your partner's appreciations. Make sure each issue has a matching need identified. And sometimes you really, in my experience, sometimes it's hard to identify what the need is. You're more in touch with the problem, and what you don't like, it's kind of hard to figure out, you know, what would fix it or what the need is, and articulate it clearly enough and specifically enough to know how it can be addressed. You know, well, I want to be happy. Well, you know, how do you make somebody happy? That's really general. So you got to be really, really, really specific. Sometimes it takes a bit of coaching, a bit of question asking, a bit of exploring to identify that. That's been my experience. And then discuss the needs one by one. Negotiate, brainstorm, be open, be flexible. You know, find the win-win solution. There's always a third option. There's always a win-win solution. And to me, this is the fun part. This is, you know, planning. You know, what are we going to do? We've gathered all this information. We've gotten in touch with our truth. We've shared our truth with each other. You know, now what? What are we going to do with it? And this is really co-creating your relationship. And to me, there's nothing more romantic than sitting down together to co-create your relationship very consciously, very intentionally. We're not just going to let whatever happens happen. We're not going to fall into habits and patterns and be comfortable and have unconscious routines. We're going to consciously co-create our relationship. To me, that is radical romance. And that's what we're doing in this step. And then lastly, whatever you come up with in terms of plans or what you're going to do or what might meet the needs, go ahead and record them in the journal. And be pretty specific, you know, lay it all out in terms of what we're going to do and when we're going to do it and who's going to do what. Assume that all needs are valid. Assume that there is always a solution, there's always a way. And I got to tell you, since we published a Radical Marriage book, I don't know about you, Darlene, but I have gotten the most flack about one of the principles of Radical Marriage, to never say no. Always say yes. Always find something you can say yes to. I've gotten the most flack about that. Say, well, what about this and what about this? And how can you possibly say yes to this? Or how can you possibly find anything to say yes to about this? And, you know, trust me, if you are open and you're flexible and you're willing to stretch a little bit and you prioritize your partner's happiness, you can always find something to say yes to. You might need a little bit of creativity. You might need a little bit of negotiation, but you can always find something to say yes to.
Well, the say yes can be an acknowledgement that this is important to you, and that it's valid. I mean, the yes doesn't have to be yes, I'm going to sell my house and run away to another country with you. I mean, it doesn't have to be a very specific thing. It just has to be a positive response to whatever you're requesting.
Right. And so it's not about saying yes 100%. It's about finding something you can say yes to so that you can positively respond to your partner. So be creative. And lastly, keep your agreements, whatever you come up with. Keep those agreements and make it your mission to keep those agreements. Sometimes the agreements that you make are going to be behavior changes. They're going to be new things. And so you might want to answer the question for yourself, well, how can I remember this? How can I, you know, change an old habit that I have to do this on a regular basis? So, you know, it's not just about the intention to keep agreements. Well, strategize and make some plans about how you can remember and prompt yourself or prompt each other to keep the agreements that you made. And this is the real last step, the closing ritual. It's, okay, now you have intentionally gotten together to co-create your relationship. You've gone through a relationship journal process, and this is really romantic to do this, even if it identifies problems and gets you in touch, you know, with some issues. But, you know, you're co-creating your relationship and your life together, and you've had a very productive, positive time together. And how do you want to close that? What sort of ritual would be helpful, you know, to close it for now and so that you guys can go on with your life and keep the romantic energy going and keep the connection going, even though it's back to changing diapers and going back to work and, you know, cleaning the garage and making dinner and doing dishes and all that, you know, routine stuff. Have a closing ritual that really promotes keeping the energy alive between you two as a result of the relationship journal process, even after it's over.
So one of my very favorite closing rituals would be a hug, a real hug, not a...
Right. A not real like, hug, okay.
Not like the kind
of
hug.
Go ahead and define for us what a real hug is in Darlene's world.
It's not the kind of hug you give your mother, right? It's a very sincere, I'm in this with you, 100%, that kind of hug that you can feel the energy just flowing between the two of you.
Yeah, and, you know, there's several signs that you've achieved that. You know, one of them is when you start breathing together, I would say. But, yeah, and so if you ever wonder what a real hug is, just, you know, give it a try and keep on doing it until you're there. So, that is the relationship journal. That's strategy number one for radical romance. Strategy number two is a radical romance, a radical marriage retreat. Use a romantic retreat as a way to add romance to the relationship journal process. So I have done this where, you know, got away for the weekend, seaside, cottage, something like that, spent the entire darn weekend with the relationship journal, with breaks for, you know, breakfast, lunch, dinner, you know, things like that. It can really be an extensive, you know, radical marriage retreat. And what's very cool is that the relationship journal makes it possible for this to be self-guided. You can do this yourself. But I tell you, it is also really cool to have it be facilitated by a coach or a facilitator, somebody who has experience with this. And you can do it as a group or you can do it privately. But a facilitator is really able to, you know, deepen the retreat for you. It is absolutely possible for a couple to have to conduct a self-led retreat with a relationship journal. Absolutely. I have no doubt about that. I've experienced it myself. There's many folks that need a little bit more guidance, need a little bit more support. So, you know, if you give this a try and you struggle with it, and don't give up. It just means that you might need some outside support first before you get the hang of doing it on your own. So it is really, really, really romantic. I mean, imagine what it's like to spend like a half an hour going through the relationship journal process with your partner and really checking in on a deep, meaningful level, and versus doing that for like an entire weekend or an entire week. You know, we are very shortly we're going to be on our radical marriage cruise. We're going to spend an entire week with couples leading a radical marriage retreat, and so. We're not going to be in our cabins the entire time with the relationship journal. We'll definitely be having fun and having breakfast, lunch, and dinner, all that. But it's very cool to do it in pieces at a time. And so you are able to space it out over a week rather than, you know, doing it really intentionally for a whole day or a weekend. It's different. But a weekend is cool. So here's how you would conduct your radical marriage retreat. And by the way, all the slides are downloadable. We're going to provide a handout that you can download. So after the program, you'll be able to download the recording, download the handout, all these steps, everything you need to know. You know, you don't necessarily need to write everything down. Right now, you can relax and just take it in and experience it. So here's how you might conduct a radical marriage retreat. First of all, you together express and set your intention. You know, what are your intentions for your time together? What is it that you want to create? What do you want the end result to be? And then co-create the retreat with your partner. Co-create it from start to finish. You know, this is cool. I mean, as a relationship professional, we are really, really used to coming up with exercises and structured things for our clients to do. But you know what? They don't need it. They don't really need us to do that. You are smart. You can create these things for yourself. And so co-create the retreat from start to finish. And start the retreat like starting the relationship journal by creating an intimate space. You know, that's mental, psychological, emotional, physical. It includes locking the doors and turn off the cell phone ringers. And, you know, what else does it include? You know, lighting candles, you know, having tea, you know, setting pillows in the middle of the floor, you know, whatever it means to you. And then use the relationship journal to identify dreams and wants and needs and issues and how to address them. But, you know, on an everyday basis, at home, in your everyday context, it's really hard to get in touch with, you know, those larger dreams that you have. when you get away from home, when you get away from your everyday life, you're able to kind of get much better perspective, and you're able to get in touch with those dreams that you had years ago that you forgot about. You're able to get in touch with, you know, new dreams that you might have and co-create with your partner. There's something about getting out of your everyday life that really lends itself to dreaming and, you know, having a great life, and having a great life together really comes from your dreams. It's like, you know, marrying the man or woman of your dreams. That's the start. Then having your dream life together, that's an ongoing process. And, you know, your dream, your vision, you know, those words to me are pretty interchangeable, pretty much the same thing. But, you know, your vision is this inner guidance system, this inner image inside you that you want to create, that you want to make real, that you want to express, that you want it to go from inside you to reality. And you can absolutely do that, and this is what we focus on as coaches, helping our client get in touch with what they really, really want and helping them make it real. That is the best darn job in the whole wide world. That is so exciting. And a lot of the times clients come to a coach with a problem. Say, well, I have this problem to solve. I need your help with it. Okay, and, you know, that's a fine place to start. And hiring a professional because you got to solve a problem, that's pretty understandable and normal. But the real power is not in focusing on the things that are wrong and the problems in your life that you want to fix. The real power is focusing on your dreams and going after them and making them real. That is where the juice comes from. That is cool. So use the relationship term to identify especially your dreams and your wants, as well as your, you know, needs issues and how to address them. And then use the retreat, your radical marriage retreat, to not only to create your dreams together, but revisit your dreams together. So you don't just create a dream or talk about it. You know, you create a dream, you talk about it, and then you find ways to implement it. You make plans, you strategize, you make agreements, you even write them down, make a plan, a written plan. And then these dreams, they're no longer in your head. They're no longer just wishes. They are becoming real. And then you need to revisit them. Are we on track? Is there something that we need to change? Is there something that needs to improve? And so this is an ongoing process. So you would use a relationship journal and you would use a retreat. A regular retreat, like once a year at least. And, you know, Valentine's Day is a great landmark for a relationship. And so our intention is to have a radical marriage retreat every Valentine's Day. You know, it's sort of like, you know, tax time. You know, it comes around, it's a definite date every year, easy to remember. Well, Valentine's Day. And certainly with most couples, if they don't do anything for their relationship all year, at least they feel obligated to on Valentine's Day. Well, you know, we'd like you to do a little more than that, but at least if you do nothing, if you don't do the relationship journal or you don't have a little getaway and focus on your relationship, you know, at all, at least do it around Valentine's Day, and we highly recommend a radical marriage retreat. And so one thing that you can seriously consider, if you have trouble getting around this on your own, or you try it and you sort of struggle with it, is go ahead and join an existing retreat or hire a radical marriage coach to facilitate your own private retreat. It is the best gift that you can give your life together and your relationship, you know, absolutely. So that ladies and gentlemen, is all that's needed to have your very own radical marriage retreat. Nothing more romantic than that. Very cool. Anything you want to add to that, sweetheart?
No, I don't think so. I think you covered it.
Okay. And I know you like it when I do the lecturing, the explanation part. So, okay. There we go. Strategy number three, one-way dates. One-way dates. What the heck do we mean by that? There's a little bit of a problem here. The problem is that couples need to regularly get out of their routine and recharge their romance. That's why they need to continually date. Most couples stop dating. They figure, I'm not single anymore. I don't need to date anymore. We're a couple now. But then they lose their romantic energy. They get into habits and routines, and then things get stale. So they need to continually recharge their relationship and their romance by continually dating. And you know what? Most couples know that. So, you know, intellectually they know it, but they don't necessarily do it. So if you ask yourself or ask another couple, when's the last time you guys went on a date? I bet you the answer is going to be a long time.
Okay. And people complain about this a lot. This is something that people want in their life but don't have.
Yeah. So the other problem with dates, when they do happen, is that we tend to fall into compromise traps. I call it a compromise trap or a negotiation trap. There's a bit of a difference. And, again, this is semantics maybe, but to me, negotiation means to negotiate a difference between two people and, you know, find an outcome, an alternative that makes you both happy. So it's a good thing. Negotiation is a good thing. There's nothing wrong with negotiation. Compromise is a little different than negotiation. Compromise is to have a difference with your partner and to meet in the middle someplace. So you're both giving up something in order to meet in the middle. And so it's a bit different than negotiation, because with negotiation, you're both happy with the outcome. You're both getting what you want. With compromise, you're giving up something you want in order to make it work. And it is a trap, because if you consider a date as something that has to please both people, then you are always going to either negotiate or compromise. Negotiate or compromise. Negotiate or compromise every time. And this really struck home for me in my first marriage, because we compromised everything. And, you know, I put it in the Radical Marriage book how we compromise on movies. We always compromised on movies. And so for 10 years of that marriage, we would compromise something that was acceptable to both of us. And, you know, I'm a guy. I like, you know, war movies and adventure movies and sci-fi. And you know, she didn't. She liked, you know, love stories and anything that had animals in it. You know, so we always compromise. And compromise on what? Comedies and dramas. That was pretty much it. So for 10 years, you know, I really didn't realize this until, you know, we divorced. For 10 years, I missed out on Indiana Jones, on Star Trek, Star Wars. And I caught up on all that after divorce. And I realized, you know, man, you can really get trapped in compromising. And you can go for a long time and not get what you really want if all you do is compromise. So it really is a trap. So it is rare to have the experience you really want in your date or your relationship if you always fall back on negotiation or compromise. Wouldn't it be nice for you to get what you really want sometimes? 100%. And wouldn't it be really nice, would you be willing to, you know, allow your partner to experience what they really want? 100%. Does everything need to be a compromise? So we propose one-way dates as the solution. Four types of one-way dates. Date number one is where you create a romantic experience for your partner. You create the experience that you believe would make them 100% happy. This is not about you at all. This is all about them. You're prioritizing their happiness. You want to create an experience for them. And then type two dates is your partner creates a romantic experience for you. Your partner pulls out the stops and creates an experience that he or she believes would be totally wonderful for you, would make you totally, totally happy, and it'd be all about you, 100%. And then type three dates are create a romantic experience for yourself. Now, this might sound a little funny, it might sound a little selfish, but you're gonna go out on a date, and what would make you radically, ecstatically happy? What kind of date would you like to go on 100% if you didn't have to negotiate or compromise a single thing?
So a lot of people have trouble with this because as we're talking about this, maybe I want to go out dancing, and I know you hate dancing. So it would be really tough for a person to say, we're going to go dancing on our date. But that is exactly what we're talking about.
Well, it might be tough to say we are going to go to dancing on this date. But in this kind of date and in radical marriage, when it's your turn to create the romantic experience that you really want to have, your partner is just so on board with prioritizing your happiness and helping you have the experience that you really want, they are going to do it even if they hate it.
And the point is, you need to have the attitude, that radical
right.
attitude that says, this is not something I would want to do myself, but I cannot wait to do this. I cannot wait to give you this gift. I am so excited to go dancing.
Yes, exactly. It's about having a good attitude even if you hate it. It's like, do it for your partner. Then type four dates is your partner creates a romantic experience for their self. And now it's your turn to totally support them to have the experience that they really want. And, you know, this is really, really cool. And how often does it happen that you get to have things exactly your way? You know, it's wonderful if your partner creates an experience for you, but then that's their idea of what would make you happy. But it makes you feel totally loved that they do that, and it's so cool to see what they come up with. But you know what? It's so cool to create your own experience and do it exactly the way you want it, because you know exactly what you want. You know exactly what will make you happy. There's no guessing involved. And so here are four dates creating a romantic experience for your partner. Your partner creates a romantic experience for you, creating a romantic experience for yourself, and your partner creates a romantic experience for their self. Each one of these dates is so juicy and so fun and so meaningful and involves so much intention. And it's the opposite of selfish. You know, you're not compromising, you're not negotiating. That might seem selfish to not negotiate, but you're going to have way more fun. It's going to be way more romantic. And so try it. I really do think that you will enjoy this, and you might not decide to ever do any other kind of date. In fact, you know, we have some suggestions for you about implementing one-way dates. The first is to co-create it. So create a plan for how you are going to implement one-way dates. So co-create the system. Create a system. It's not just about one date. It's about doing this on an ongoing basis. So they work much better if you are both on board with doing this. And then schedule it. Get your calendar out and schedule the dates far ahead of time. And then you'll be able to plan for it. You'll be able to anticipate it. And this is not the kind of thing that it works very well to do it at the last minute. Oops, I'm supposed to create an experience for you tomorrow. Oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? You know, it works much better if it's planned ahead of time, if it's anticipated. You know, then you can order those opera tickets. You can, you know, get the ingredients together for that romantic meal that you're going to cook. You can book the romantic hotel room. You know, there are things that you can only do ahead of time. Don't do this at the last minute. Plan it. Yep, just what I said. And, you know, a quality experience does require intent and forethought. As much as people value spontaneity, you know, spontaneity might feel romantic. And it is, you know, romantic to spontaneously whisk somebody off to Paris or spontaneously be in the mood for sex or spontaneously say I love you. But you know what? If we leave everything to spontaneity, then, you know, our life's not going to work. You know, let's see. Do I feel like paying the bills right now? Do I feel like going to work right now? You know, it doesn't quite work that way. So for radical marriage, we, you know, it might seem less romantic, but it does work far, far better to prioritize your relationship, plan it, schedule it, make it happen with intention.
Well, it doesn't mean you can't have spontaneous romance, too. It's just that you plan what you can.
Yeah. And then go ahead and own it. You know, this is the romantic, creating the romantic experience of your dreams or your partner's dreams without compromising at all. You know, own that. So, sweetheart, this is my idea of the romantic experience of your dreams. And, you know, I'm not going to be afraid of failing or making a mistake or offending you. This is my sincere idea, what would make you ecstatically happy. Or this is what would make me ecstatically happy. No apologies. And we talked about agreements in the relationship journal, and it definitely applies here. You know, keep your agreements. Keep those dates. Your relationship and your life is going to suck if the day comes around, it was your turn to create an experience for your partner, and you forgot. Or you got busy and got distracted. So keep your agreements. There's nothing more important than keeping your agreements in your relationship. That's the basis of trust. Goes without saying. That also goes without saying. I'm not even going to say it. Okay. Another suggestion is to budget it. You know, it doesn't require a lot of money. It doesn't require any money. In fact, the best dates require zero money. But, you know, discuss it and set an agreement around you know, your budget and how much to spend and what the limits might be. You know, for most people, you know, money is limited. And it doesn't have to limit your happiness and your life together. It doesn't have to limit your romance. It doesn't have to limit your dates at all. In fact, you might be creative and make an agreement that the one-way dates have a $20 limit.
Or you have a set of dates that maybe has a larger budget and then ones that have $20 limits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and enjoy, you know. Have a positive attitude for each date, even if it's not something that you're crazy about, you know. support your partner to have the experience that they want, that they deserve, and they in turn will support you to have the experience that you want, that you deserve. And remember, going all the way back to the definition of romance is to woo your partner with ardor. So the energy is towards your partner. It's not on you. It's not on what you need or what you want or what you like or what you don't like. The energy is on your partner, and that seems to be a key ingredient to romance. And we also suggest don't plan a date based on what your partner did last time, or scratch it. Start from scratch. Start each date with a blank slate. Don't keep score. It's not good in a relationship to keep score, and it's also not good for dates to keep score. Don't try to one-up each other. Don't try to match what happened before. Start each date from scratch with a blank slate. And that is everything we have for you around radical romance. We covered using the relationship journal for radical romance. We covered creating your own radical marriage retreat for radical romance. And we covered one-way dates for radical romance. And what all of these strategies have in common is that we highly recommend them for creating radical romance in your radical marriage on an ongoing basis. Not something you do just once, not something you do just during Valentine's Day. And so that's everything we got. I'll go ahead and go to the questions. See, what's on your mind? So one question, aren't types 1 and 2 the same? So let's go back to the types of dates. Type 1 dates is create a romantic experience for your partner, and then your partner creates a romantic experience for you. So that is taking turns. No, they're not quite the same. Let's see here. We have a lot of relationship questions here, not just about romance, about relationships. And so real quickly, because this is a webinar on romance and radical romance, but, we definitely want to support you to get your questions answered about relationships. Beth is asking, I have a client that wants to continue her relationship after it has cooled off. Would it be appropriate for her to reignite the romance after a breakup but still be friends, or should she wait for him? There's a whole cottage industry on getting your ex back. And, people are attached to their partners even after they break up. And is it a good idea to get back together? We don't know. And as a relationship coach, you're talking about your client, you don't know either. And so this is one of those things where you support your client to make decisions for themselves, for their best interest, to kind of design their life independent of their partner. In relationship coaching for singles, I have a whole program called Conscious Dating in which we coach our clients to get in touch with what their vision for their life is, what their life purpose is, what their requirements, needs, and wants are, and then go ahead and, live your vision. And how do you accomplish, what it is you want to accomplish, and get your requirements, needs, and wants met in your life as well as a relationship. And so when our clients are making decisions independent of, somebody they broke up with, then they're living their own life. And that's what we want to support them to do. And should this person wait? Who knows? It's something that, we explore as a coach. We don't know the answer, and we don't need to know the answer, and they don't need to know the answer. The key is in the journey. So we walk the journey with our clients, and who knows where it leads. It is often surprising and amazing where that journey leads. You never, never know. That's part of the adventure of life and a relationship and in coaching. So we don't know the answer ahead of time, and we don't need to know. And let's see. Natalie is asking, if a man doesn't mention marriage in the dating purpose section of his profile on a website, only long-term relationship, does that mean his dating intentions are not serious and never be fully committed? Well, that's a very interesting question. To me, people are marriage-minded when they use the word marriage. And other people, they don't think marriage is necessary, or they think marriage is obsolete. Does it mean they're not marriage-minded? Well, they might be commitment-minded, but they don't use the language, the word marriage, to attach to that. So it might be semantics. It might be, identical. Your idea of a committed relationship and your idea of marriage might match up totally 100%. You never know until you have that conversation. But if you value marriage, the institution of marriage, then you definitely want to date people that also value the institution of marriage, and they're not afraid to use the word marriage, not afraid to say, I'd like to be married someday. And if you're with somebody that is, that's not the way they think, then you already have a problem when you start, because you're already not on the same page. It doesn't mean it's a deal breaker. It does mean that you have some compromising, negotiating, some learning about each other before you know if it's a good fit. Kim is asking, how do you keep the romance spark alive after 25 years with the same partner? Great question, Kim. Thank you. And the answer is really easy. Just practice the three strategies of radical romance. And hopefully now that you've gone through the webinar that you see that might be helpful to you. Louise is asking, my boyfriend of 5 years is a loner, and he told me that he views our relationship more like companionship, that he loves me, but he needs his alone time. We don't live together. I only see him on weekends. And, she goes on. And so, I mean, really, my question to you, Louise, is what do you want? What relationship do you want? What's important to you? You have a boyfriend. You have a relationship here. It's not committed. Is it aligned with what you want? And everything else is pretty immaterial. And, we could try to make it work this way and try to make it work that way, but it's a fit or it's not. It's a round peg in a square hole, or it's a square peg in a square hole. So in terms of being single or in terms of being in a pre-committed relationship, it pretty much is my experience and my philosophy that it's either a fit or it's not. And we get into trouble if we try to, fit a round peg in a square hole. So one thing I would highly recommend, Louise, is to, check out Conscious Dating, check out the Conscious Dating book. And there's a particular program in there, and we even have a website for it, called Radical Dating. So Radical Dating, in my view, is Conscious Dating on steroids. It's, dating with the intention of finding a partner and creating a radical marriage. And that's what I get that you want. And you're telling me that's what you don't have. And so in Radical Dating, there is five truths of radical dating. And one of them is you deserve to be loved, to love and be loved for who you are. And you deserve to have your deepest needs and requirements be met. And these are truths of radical dating. And so you're telling me that your truths aren't being answered here, very clearly. Now, it might not be what you want to hear. It might not be the reality that you want it, but reality is reality. So we need to accept reality as it is, rather than hope it's going to change into what we want it to be. You know, Louise, I'm going to say that again. It's really important. We need to accept reality for what it is, rather than trying to change reality for what we want it to be. And believe me, I've tried many, many times. It's a trap. It's a dead end. You will not succeed in creating reality the way you want it to be. So Kelly's asking, I think routines is what makes us like roommates. Do you think we should spice things up? But what if the other person isn't committed to making changes? Well, you know, yes, routines is what makes us like roommates. And radical romance will absolutely spice things up for you. And it is something that you can do together. And the other person doesn't need to be committed to anything. They just need to be responsive to you. If you take 100% responsibility for your experience of the relationship, for your outcomes in the relationship, then you will initiate what you want to see happen in the relationship. And your partner, if they're a good partner, will be responsive to that. It doesn't have to come from them. And they don't have to be committed to it. But it's sort of like Project Runway, you know. You watch it enough, and then you get hooked. So, you know, I have every confidence that, you know, once you develop the habit of radical marriage, once you practice radical marriage, your partner will be totally on board. But you don't have to worry about where they are right now. Let's see how things go once we practice these things together. I think you might be pleasantly surprised. And let's see, one last question. Coretta is asking, should I leave the relationship I'm in because my mate cheated? And Coretta, we don't know. This is something that you need to get in touch with what your truth is, what's right for you. I would highly recommend meeting with a relationship coach about this. There is an ebook that we put together called Should I Stay or Should I Go? And if you go to relationshipcoachinginstitute.com and you click on books, or you go to amazon.com, search for Should I Stay or Should I Go? It is a really balanced approach to deciding, you know, can I make this relationship work, or would I be giving myself up? Is there a future? Can we make it work or not? Should I stay or should I go? We don't have advice for you. We don't know the answer. It's impossible, and anybody that thinks they do, they're being irresponsible, because we can't know what would be true and right for you. Only you would. But should I stay or should I go is a really balanced approach that will support you to determine what's best for you. So that's my best answer. So one last question, and I think this is a great question to wrap things up with. What do you do if the romance is gone? Husband is burned out on life. We're arguing a lot. You know, they're at odds. It's been going on for years. I'm very resentful. He doesn't listen to me. Well, several things. First of all, it's really hard to have a radical marriage by yourself. However, it is surprising how often and how easy it is to get the partner on board once you just start doing it. And as a start, I recommend reading the book together. And when you get to the chapter on like radical commitment and the five promises of radical commitment, you know, this is really going to make it clear, is this somebody that's on the same page, somebody that, you know, we can do this together, we share the same values, even though we've grown apart and we're arguing and, you know, I'm mad as hell, resentful, angry, you know, but do we at least share the same values? Or are we not even on the same planet? And so that's something that you can do, something that you can start. And chances are, when things get this difficult, you need outside support. You need counseling, therapy, work with a relationship coach. You need a neutral third party. It is really, really hard to work on your relationship when you're angry, when you're resentful. Because if you're resentful, what do you think's going on the other side of the fence? Your partner is defensive. Your partner is angry and resentful as well. And so changing that is absolutely possible, but it's a challenge. It's really hard to do it by yourself. So give yourself the gift that your marriage and your relationship needs and get some outside support. But one thing you can try, one thing to help get things started, is read the Radical Marriage book together. You know, see if even though you feel like you're on different planets, you know, see if, you know, there's enough in common of what you value and the kind of life together that you want to have together. You know, most couples get together for a reason. Most couples have a lot more in common than they have differences. And so this might be a way to discover, you know, what it is you want together so that you can do that. So that's everything we have for you. Thank you for joining us. Happy Valentine's Day, by the way. And we really do sincerely wish for you that you live the life you love with the love of your life and have the most radical marriage together possible. And we hope this program in some small way is going to support you to do that. And please do download the handouts, the slides, the audio, review it again, and, you know, if that would help you, or pass it around. And thanks for joining us. We will see you next time. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.